morning is from Isaiah chapter 11. In today's reading, the prophet describes the ideal ruler who will come in the future as a green shoot springing from a dead stump, David's royal line of Jesse, David's father. Gifted by the Spirit, this Messiah will seek justice for the poor, and the reign of this monarch will be experienced as paradise regained. A shoot shall come from the stump of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. The Spirit of the Lord shall rest on him, the spirit of wisdom and understanding, the spirit of counsel and might, the spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. His delight shall be in the fear of the Lord. He shall not judge by what his eyes see, or decide by what his ears hear, but with righteousness he shall judge the poor and decide with equity for the meek of the earth. He shall strike the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips he shall kill the wicked. Righteousness shall be the belt around his waist, and faithfulness the belt around his loins. The wolf shall live with the lamb. The leopard shall lie down with the kid. The calf and the lion and the fatling together, and a little child shall lead them. The cow and the bear shall graze. Their young shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like an ox. The nursing child shall play over the hole of the asp, and the weaned child shall put his hand on the adder's den. They will not hurt or destroy on all my holy mountain, for the earth will be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. On that day, the root of Jesse shall stand as a signal to the peoples. The nations shall inquire of him, and his dwelling shall be glorious. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Please read the psalm responsively with me. Give the king your justice, O God, and your righteousness to the king's son.
That he may rule your people righteously, and the poor with justice.
That the mountains may bring prosperity to the people, and the hills in righteousness.
Let him defend the needy among the people, rescue the poor, and crush the oppressor.
May he live as long as the sun and moon endure, from one generation to another.
Let him come down like rain upon the mown field, like showers that water the earth.
In his time, may the righteous flourish, and let there be an abundance of peace till the moon shall be no more.
Blessed are you, Lord God, the God of Israel. You alone do wondrous deeds.
And blessed be your glorious name forever, and may all the earth be filled with your glory. Amen.
Alleluia, alleluia, Lord, to whom shall we go?
The gospel reading today is from Matthew, the third chapter. In those days, John the Baptist appeared in the wilderness of Judea, proclaiming, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near." This is the one of whom the prophet Isaiah spoke when he said, "The voice of one crying out in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight." Now John wore clothing of camel's hair with a leather belt around his waist, and his food was locusts and wild honey. Then the people of Jerusalem and all of Judea were going out to him in all the region along the Jordan. And they were baptized by him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. But when he saw many Pharisees and Sadducees coming for baptism, he said to them, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bear fruit worthy of repentance. Do not presume to say to yourselves, 'We have Abraham as our ancestor.' For I tell you, God is able from these stones to rise up children of Abraham. Even now, the axe is lying at the root of the trees. Every tree, therefore, that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. I baptize you with water for repentance, but one who is more powerful than I is coming after me. I am not worthy to carry his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand, and he will clear the threshing floor and will gather his wheat into the granary, but the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire. The Gospel of our Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Please be seated. Grace to you and peace from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. One of my favorite pastimes is to watch stand-up comedy on Netflix and also to listen to storytellers on NPR's The Moth Hour. I consider it as part of my preaching preparation to hear other storytellers and learn from the way that they get their points across. Comedy is an interesting genre because there's a way that a comedian talks about life that is humorous, but it also gets at many of the profound truths of our lives. Comedians are truth tellers, but not in the way that we expect. They come at a subject with a particular flair, making light of the most serious of situations and letting a little bit of light in. On the second Sunday of Advent, the scripture always features John the Baptist, who is a truth teller, a prophet who prepares the way for Jesus. So let's imagine John as a stand-up comedian who's got the crowd's attention through his crazy clothes and wild hair, stepping out from the wilderness looking like a wild man. But John's act isn't an act. What lies beyond John's charismatic mountain man exterior is his compelling and deadpan serious claim about the one who is coming. John is like one of those preachers who stands on a street corner in a city and looks a bit crazy, and he sounds a bit crazy, but yet there's something that rings true. John says, "Hey you, yeah you out there, judgment is coming." To which I think, "Oh yeah, sign me up for that." Now, depending on who we are at any given moment, judgment can be a good thing or a dreaded thing. For someone who is poor and desperate, victim of a crime, lonely, addicted, unemployed, then judgment and the justice that comes from that may be a soothing balm to give someone the hope that they actually need. On the other hand, if we are the person flying through life oblivious to the ways in which we participate in the pain of other people, then we might fear judgment and the justice that God brings, quickly dismissing the truth claims of that crazy preacher on the side of the road. What John asks of this crowd today, crazy or not, is repentance. Now we begin our worship services here with usually three things. Number one, we begin with confession, an acknowledgement of our brokenness and the brokenness of our world. Number two, we receive God's forgiveness and healing. And then number three, we are in joy invited to bear that fruit of repentance, which is living in a loving way toward God and our neighbors. So three steps: confession, forgiveness, repentance. Now I realize that confession is not so easy for all of us in every scenario, in part because many of us link confession with a hell, fire, and brimstone kind of judgment and fear. Now this is not a church that specializes in judgment, but some churches do. Maybe you have attended one or even grew up in one. But this is not one of them. I figure that for most of us, we already come here some days feeling chewed up and spit out by the world, and we don't need to be reminded too much of the fact that we are broken or lost. Like the country song goes, Sometimes you're the windshield, and sometimes you're the book. Most days, we are very well aware of the ways that we take part in this world, in a world that is far from the image of the kingdom of God that Jesus spoke about. Even so, we begin worship with confession, and we receive forgiveness, because it's important for us, for all of us together, to be reminded that our brokenness is not ours alone, but it's something that we share together as the body of Christ. And we also share in that healing, the healing of a merciful God. Now, while we share a communal confession every Sunday, some traditions offer individual confession and forgiveness. Comedian Kathleen Madigan talks about, in her stand-up comedy routine, about growing up in a very large Irish Catholic family. Her father was also a defense attorney. So early in life, her father instilled in she and her six siblings that if you were ever to be detained by the police, you should say two things. Number one, I have no recollection. Number two, I need an attorney. They were taught this over and over, and apparently it sunk in so well with young Kathleen that when she went to confession as a young girl, she felt as if she was being interrogated. The priest said, "Kathleen, is there anything you've done that you want to tell me about?" And she said, "Father, I don't recall, and I need an attorney." As hilarious as that is, I think it points to the fact that confession really can be daunting for many of us because of the fear of judgment and justice that may follow. So back to John the Baptist. You know, John draws this huge crowd who hears the message of repentance and preparation, and we are told that the people, all of the people, are baptized. I don't know about you, but I didn't quite see that coming when I first read this story. John throws around insults, and then people say, "Sign me up for baptism," including the Pharisees and the Sadducees. The crowd listens to this wild man who speaks truth in a way that most likely even surprises them. Now, there are two meanings for the word repentance. The Hebrew understanding of this word means to turn to God. But the Greek meaning of this word, which is where we read it today, means to have an open mind, to be open-minded. Ever heard of the expression that something blew your mind? That's what John is talking about. He's saying, prepare yourself for one of those aha moments. John is telling the people that the Messiah will be a judgy kind of guy who will judge those with a fixed mindset from those who are open-minded about the work of God in their life. So what kind of judgment are we talking about anyway? Well, as the prophet Isaiah proclaims, the Lord shall not judge by what his eyes see or decide by what his ears hear. But with righteousness he shall judge the poor and decide with equity for the meek of the earth. The wolf shall lie with the lamb, the leopard shall lie down with the kid, the calf and the lion and the fatling all together, and a little child shall lead them. Is this the kind of judgment which we should be afraid of, or that we should? Like many of us, I believe that the people in that crowd that day were asking some of these same questions. How do I take what I already know and experience about God and about life and allow God to teach me something new? How could God possibly see something new in me? So we ask ourselves today, how might Jesus come in the flesh this Christmas? Not just all those years ago in the manger, but today, right here in our ordinary lives. How might Jesus come and surprise us again? As John stands in the wilderness preaching to the people, we see ourselves in their eyes. Today we are on our seats, the edge of our seats, ready to be surprised. We are standing at the edge of that river, ready to be transformed. We are ready to make room for Jesus. So walk with me. Walk with me this Advent season in the wilderness, a season for opening a place in our minds and in our hearts for Jesus to enter in a brand new way. Thanks be to God. Stand as you're able.